John chapter number 4. I want to go to Luke. Just hold your place there. I want to read one verse. In Luke chapter 19. I'm going to read it again after we get started. I believe it's Luke chapter 19. Yeah, Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now it doesn't say the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost, although that's true, but it puts a second aspect to the reason for His coming. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now let's go to John chapter number 4. Very familiar text. The last time this was preached on, Brother Raines, I guess, preached on here, and we had two or three or four saved. I don't remember what it was, but it's what the Holy Spirit put on my heart this morning. And I want to read this very familiar text to you. Again, in verse number 1, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee." Verse number 4, "And he must," that word "must" is in there, "and he must needs go through Samaria. Then he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." There's that seeking again. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will teach us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth, he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. And I want to stop right there and ask you to pray with me and for me this morning. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you again. And I know we've prayed twice today, but Lord, I just ask you now to please help me. I ask you, Lord, if you would, you know my frame. You know, Father, my struggles. You know my inadequacies, my inabilities. And Father, I'm just asking you if you would this morning to cleanse me. If there's any unconfessed sin in my life, please forgive me and make me a vessel of honor for just a little while, that it might be a blessing and a help to your people and to maybe a sinner that might be in our midst today. Father, I ask you, if you would, to please help us. Please do what needs doing. Please, if there's anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, would you refrain it for a few minutes, Father? Do what needs doing, my Father. Be glorified in Jesus' precious name. We do ask these things. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to talk to you this morning out of John chapter number 4. And really what we have is a seeking and saving Savior in this chapter. That's really what it is. And we're going to talk about that some. And really, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know. I'm well aware of that. But there's some text that just need to be preached over and over and over again. Maybe all of them do. Maybe all of them. But some texts just seem to lean themselves toward preaching again. And as we look at this, I want you to kind of just picture with me as we work our way up to the text. I want you to picture with me what kind of woman this is. I thought about this woman. I really don't know how old she was. I know she's had several husbands, fast had 5 husbands, and the one you're living with now's not your husband. And so I know she's had a track record. She's had, I guess, several years of that lifestyle. But really, I don't know how old she is. I really don't know her name. I really don't know much about her at all. I don't know her family. We don't know what her ambition in life is. But there's a few things we probably could say. She was probably considered a nobody. She probably was really, when folks went by and looked at her, she was just a nobody. She wasn't anything. We know she was. She was looked down upon because she's Samaritan, and no doubt she is looked down upon for her lifestyle. Folks would go by and turn their nose, and maybe this was not someone that you, if she had been a younger person, not someone you would wanted your family associated with. When I think about her, she really wasn't looking for anything except a pot of water. I thought about this lady when she woke up the morning Jesus met her. When she woke up, it's just another day as far as she is concerned. I mean, it's just another day. She didn't wake up that morning and say, "Hey, I'm going to meet Jesus today." No, she just woke up and started out the day, I guess. And when she started out toward the well, she wasn't going for anything. She was just going to get a pot of water. She's just going to get some water to just take care of the day, I guess. And I wondered why. You know, they say she went at the noonday hour because the women, if you go over in Genesis, the women went about in the evening hour. If you go over there and check it out. But I just wondered what providential intervention may have occurred. Could she have spilt the water? Could she be coming early, possibly to avoid the other women? But I just wondered, maybe the water spilled and she went early because due to a mishap, there was no water. Maybe they drank an extra amount of water. I don't know, but I just thought about why it was. Very well could have been what most of the scholars think. She was avoiding the other women, and I don't have a problem with that, but I just wondered why it was. She went when she went. Did the Lord intervene? Did He have His providential hand upon her life? And then I kept thinking about her. You know, she didn't know what she was missing. She really didn't know about Jesus and how great He was and what a friend He is, what He can do for you and how He helps you. She didn't know that. She didn't even know who He was when she saw Him. Here she is, not looking for anything except a pot of water. She's a nobody. Nobody cares about her. She really, I guess she don't, probably has hardened herself to that fact. She doesn't really know what she's missing in the Lord. She has a little knowledge about the things of God. She says a few things in verse 25. She says, "I know that Messiah's coming." She knew there's a Messiah coming, a Christ. She had just a little bit of knowledge, but really she didn't know anything. She didn't know nothing. Fact of the matter is, she didn't have a whole lot to offer Jesus. She didn't have a whole lot to offer. She couldn't say, "Now, if you'll save me, here's what I'll give you. If you'll save me, I'll give you this much money, or I'll contribute to the cause, or I'll be on the team, and I'll do this or I'll do that." She really didn't have a whole lot to offer Him. And I believe I can say this truthfully, really deep down inside, she wasn't happy. I believe that's why Jesus said, "I can give you water that you'll not ever thirst again." I don't believe she's satisfied down on the inside. And He's saying, "I can satisfy you." And so here you have a woman who probably hates herself and hates her life, if you want the truth of it. Probably hates the way she's living. She don't know anything to do about it. She's just trying to struggle through life. She has a little bit of knowledge. She knows somewhere out there, somewhere, there's a Messiah coming. That's what she knows. She's woke up this morning, started towards the well. She don't know there'll be somebody there, let alone that somebody is the Savior of the world. That's who we're talking about. That's who this lady is. In this text that we read, we see an encounter and later an exhortation. I'm just going to try to talk to you about this encounter. You see, she had an encounter with Jesus, and she was never the same.
Amen.
She wasn't looking for Him. She wasn't asking about Him. She wasn't even headed out there to meet Him. But thank God, when she didn't know Him, He knew her. Well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but it's all right. I'm glad there's a Savior that knows old sinners.
Amen.
He didn't come to save the righteous, but He came to save old sinners. You see, she's going to an encounter, and it's between two people, only two. Only two people involved in this transaction that's going to take place here at this well. Disciples couldn't be part of it. Her family, the one she is living with, couldn't be part of it. It had to be an encounter between her and Jesus. And I just want to say this, sinner, I'm just going to talk this morning. I really believe there's been somebody with us for a while that needs to be saved. If you ever get saved, it'll be because you've had an encounter with one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't know Him, sinner, but He knows you. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows who your family is. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows all the sin you've already committed. He knows how sorry you are. He knows how low you slipped. He knows everything about you. But can I just say it, sinner? He still loves you. He loves you, sinner. The Lord loves you. And He's... Let me slow up. Just a little bit. Let me back up. It's an encounter between you and Jesus. No one else. And if the Lord doesn't ever seek you out, you'll never be saved. You can't get to Jesus. He has to come to you and start dealing with your heart. You better just get that down. And if He ever deals with your heart, you better say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for having mercy upon my soul." If Jesus never seeks you out, you'll never be saved. If you never have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll die in your sins. Let me say that again. That's just such a simple statement. If you never have a personal encounter and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll die in your sins. You can go to church every time the doors open. You can have your name on 5 church rolls. You can do the good deeds till your hands, till you're wore out. But if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll go to that awful place called hell and stay there for eternity. Sinner, I'm telling you the Bible truth this morning. I'm telling you the truth. You better heed. Let me read to you what Matthew chapter number 7 says. You don't have to turn. Just stay right where you're at. It says this, and all these, I use them all the time, I guess. Sometimes I probably dull their effectiveness by my repetitive use, but it says this: "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Oh, so you got to do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? That you be saved. That's his will. It's not a works thing. Notice what happens in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, you didn't do enough works. Then will I profess unto them, your name was not on the church roll. Then will I profess unto them, you wasn't water baptized. Then will I profess unto them, you didn't go to the confessional booth and get it right. None of those things did he say. But here's what he said. Then will I profess unto them, I once did, but I've forgotten about you now. Not I once knew you, but I don't know you anymore. I want you to notice what he said to these religious workers. I never knew you. Sinner, you have to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. He has to know you as his child. Well, we're looking in this particular text, and I said this, if the Lord never seeks you out, sinner, you're going to die in your sins. And if he ever troubles your soul, thank God for it. Thank God for it. Oh, I'm saying to you, there's hope. God's dealing with your heart this morning. Sinner, I want to say this, if you're here this morning and he's dealing with your heart, he may not always be dealing with your heart. That's right. When he deals with you, that's the time for you to do business with God. Don't put it off. Here's what the devil says. Just wait. Just put it off. Just wait. Don't do it. Because God, somewhere along the line, God may quit dealing with your heart. And so, we have a woman and we have a situation. And I just want to tell you some things about the Savior. Number one, he's a helping Savior. This woman didn't know it, but she needed help. She thought she had it going. She was just living life, just doing her thing, minding her own business. It's my life. I'll live it how I want to. I don't care what anybody says or thinks. I know they look down at me. I don't care. But I'm telling you that she didn't realize it, but she needed help. And there's a Savior come from heaven that could help her, and he was willing to help her. And no, sinner, I want to say to you, you don't know it, but you need help. Sinner, if you've never met Jesus, you need help. You need help. And it'll take the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. And I could say it to you all day, but if he ever does, there's a Savior that's ready to help you. He's ready to help you. He's a helping Savior. I could just, let me just turn to a few of these scriptures and read them to you this morning. I don't want to belabor any of these points. I have several of them that maybe some of you would say could be known without saying, but let me read just a verse or two to you. In verse 9, hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Thou hast been my help. In chapter 33 of the Psalms, in verse number 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help. He is our help and our shield. The Lord. Here's what I'm trying to say, and I know that's speaking of the saints. And I thank God he doesn't just help you at salvation, but he helps you live the Christian life. I want to say to you, sinner, you don't know it, but your only help, the only place for you to get spiritual help, to get salvation, the only help you have is in Jesus. No other way, just Jesus. Your only hope is Jesus. I can't save you. I can't change you. I can't forgive and wash you white as snow. I can only point you to one that can, and that is the Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He can do that for you. Well, here she goes out to the well, and she don't know it, but there's a seeking Savior who's wanting to help her. You say she didn't want help. I know she didn't, but he wanted to help her anyways. Aren't you glad that when you was in sin, you had your life just like you wanted it? You didn't want no help. You didn't need nobody. You was doing it your way. Aren't you glad there's a Savior that intervened in your life and wanted to help you even though you didn't want help? You know what I say? Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. Sinner, I'm telling you, you may not want help this morning, but there's a Savior in heaven that wants to help you. Oh my, you need to get that in your mind this morning. What else do we see in this little encounter? We see a pitiful woman. We see a Savior who wants to help. Hebrews 4:16 talks about a place we can go, Brother Bud. I love that passage. I know you do too. To find help in time of need. Oh my, the Savior can help you. And then I want to say again, He's an all-knowing Savior. He's an all-knowing Savior. He told this woman in verse 17 or 16, go call thy husband and come hither. So go get your husband, come back. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, yeah, you're right. You don't have a husband, but you've had five, and I'm just going to use East Tennessee language, you're shacking up now with a man. And it got her attention. You see, he knew all about her. Here's what you would say, well, the Lord wouldn't fool with somebody that sorry and that no good and that sinful. That's who the Lord's looking for. That's who He's looking for. The sorry you are, the more He loves you. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. He loves you. He loves you, sinner, just like you are. Here's what some sinners think. You may think that today, sinner. You may think, well, I've got to clean up, do better, and get right, and get this out of my life, and then He'll accept me. I just want to say to you, sinner, you can't do better until He makes you better. You can't do right until you're made right. That's right. He takes you like you are and changes you into what you need to be. Isn't that right? And doesn't He take you? Hey, you just come to Him, sin and all, and say, I have nothing to offer you, but would you save me? And He washes away your sins and gives you His righteousness. I'm just saying to you, sinner, why wouldn't you want to be saved? Why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want help? Why wouldn't you want somebody to help you that loves you and cares about you and gave His life for you? Why wouldn't you? I'll tell you why. The devil's blinded your eyes. You can't see right. Oh, I pray the Spirit of God opens your eyes this morning. Oh my, here she was. And she didn't go confess and get all them sins taken care of and offer a lamb for them and do all them things that they did back then. She did. He just took her sins and all and dealt with the issue as a whole. You see, he knew all about her. He knew all about her. And there's two kinds of believers as a rule. Well, there's maybe many more than that, but a lot of believers are saved out of wicked, ungodly sin, like this woman was. Some are like Nicodemus in chapter 3, saved out of religion. Some's like chapter 5. If you get over there, look at that man who was healed. But some of us, we commit most of our sin and was before salvation. But many that was saved as a young age, and I drop my head when I say this, we committed most of our sin after salvation. Not only did he know what I'd done, but he knew what I would do. And he still loved me. And he still cares about me. I'm just saying he's a help. And in chapter 4, we see a helping Savior. We see an all-knowing Savior. He knew everything about this woman. And then we see a loving Savior. I've already said it, but let me just say it again. He cared about her. There wasn't anybody, I don't think, really cared about this woman. I don't know if she had a mother and daddy that somewhere loved her and cared about her and was heartbroken over her. I don't know. I really suspect nobody cared. But I'm glad Jesus did. And when he said he must needs go through Samaria, I thought about that. He didn't have to go through Samaria to get to Galilee. Verse 3 said he left Judea and departed into Galilee. He could have went around. Now, you say, well, he must needs go through Samaria. He had to take the short trip so he could heal the nobleman's son in chapter 4 and verse 46 before he died. He could have raised him from the dead. The fact that he was headed to Galilee to help that nobleman's son that was sick, that didn't mean he had to go through. When he said, I'm persuaded of this, when he said he must needs go through Samaria, that he saw that little woman needing help, and he loved her. And he knew that she wouldn't come to him, and he's going to have to go where she was at. And that's why he needed to go through Samaria. And I don't know, I'm just real kind of sober this morning, not really getting in a big way, but You know the Lord may be right here this morning to save some sinner. He might have said this yesterday in the heavens. He might have said, I must needs go down to Ridgeview Baptist Church in the morning and save this dear sinner. He might have said that. I understand God's everywhere. I know He's in us. I'm not trying. I'm just trying to get you to see the picture. He must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because he loved this woman. He loved her. Nobody else did, but Jesus did. I want you to listen what the Scripture says. And knowing that Jesus said this, I and my Father are one. And here's what the Bible says about the Father. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do you know Jesus loves you? Calvary. That's how you know. You look at Calvary and you have to say this, Jesus loved me. He suffered unmercifully for you. Sinner, I'm talking about one that died in your place. They put that crown of thorns on his head. I can't imagine that. They tell you, you've all heard them stories, them thorns was this long, not like our thorns. I don't know. I guess if that's what they say. But he's sitting there bleeding. And they're smiting him on the face and spitting in his face. And he just takes it. And they cover his head and they smite him and they say, prophesy. You're the big man you say you are. Just tell us who hit you. And they, even though he was innocent, for you, sinner, they took a cat of nine tails. Let me just say a whip, and with multiple whips on it, multiple strands, with solid pieces, and scourged his back. Made long furrows down his back. Why did he do that? He had, somebody said it, I don't remember who it was. He had 12 legions of angels and he could have just blinked the words or just give the nod or the okay and it could have delivered him. He let them nail his hands to the cross and his feet to the cross. He let them pierce his side. Why? Because he loves you and I. What a Savior. Do you know that punishment? We deserve that. Do you know he was suffering for our sins? You know he shed his blood for our sins? You realize that? He gave his life for us because we're so sorry we wasn't qualified to die for ourselves. I'm telling you, we have a Savior in heaven that loves you and I, and sinner, he loves you. Oh my. Here he is. Why did he wait? He's a waiting Savior. I'm so far off of where I'm headed. He's just a waiting Savior. It's, I said this, he came to her. Really, he came to where she's going to be. He waited on her. I just wonder how many of you he's been waiting on. He waited on me about a month. He waited on me. Thank God for a waiting Savior. He could have given me one opportunity and just wrote me off, but he waited on me. There he sits at the well, and he's just waiting for her to show up. Sinner, I want to ask you this. Is the Lord waiting on you? Has he been dealing with you? You'll have to say this, preacher. I know the Lord's been dealing my heart. I don't know why, but I just haven't done anything about it. He's still waiting on you. He's a waiting Savior. There he is at the well. He's waiting on her. And then I want to say, when she showed up, he started talking to her. He initiated conversation. Sinner, the Lord will talk to you. It ain't like me talking. It's that still small voice down the inside. And I use this example. It's all I have. I can't use anything else. I can't use your conversion. But I'd lay on my bed at night before I was saved, about 3 weeks or four before I got saved. And the Holy Spirit of God, He would say this to me. That's the Lord speaking to you. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. If you die, you're going to hell. And I'd heard a little bit about hell, and I was so frightened. But I could tell the Lord was talking to me. He'd say this, you need to be saved. And I'd put it off, and the next day, it'd be gone. And then I'd lay down again, and His great mercy, He'd come back to me. For about 3 weeks, he just kept dealing with my heart. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. Nobody heard it but me. He wasn't dealing with anybody. It's just me and him. You need to be saved. I went to church that Monday night that I got saved, Revival Week, and preached on when they cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. I thought, my, what a horrible time that's going to be. What a horrible time when men want to die and can't die. How terrible that would be. And that same voice started dealing with me again. What was that? That's the Lord talking to me. That's the Lord speaking. That's what He did with her. He engaged in conversation. He met her where she was at. Sinner, when He talks to you, you'll understand. I didn't have any question. I'd made a false profession 2 or 3 years earlier. But when He spoke to my heart, without a shadow of a doubt, I knew I was lost. I knew I was lost. I don't know if that happens to everybody. I can't say that. But I can say it happened to me that way. It may be different for you, but I knew I was lost. Why? He let me know that. He communicated to me. He came to her. And He began to deal with her. And you know what He dealt with her about? He dealt with her about life and about her sins. He dealt with her about life. You say she was alive. No, she's a walking dead woman. That's right. physically she was alive, but spiritually she is dead. And he said, I'll give you living water. I'll give you water that'll cause you to have life, and you'll never be thirsty for life again. He started talking to her about life. Do you know the Lord can give you everlasting life? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Give you life. He can give you eternal, everlasting, never-ending life. Just the Savior. Just the Savior. Nobody else can do that but Jesus. Nobody else but Jesus. He talked to her about life. But before she could get life, she had to face her sins. He talked to her about her sins. I'll never forget when the Lord was dealing to me. I realized I was the sorriest, low-down, no-good sinner that ever was. You say, well, you was just a little, almost 13-year-old boy. You hadn't even gotten sin. I know that's how you might see it, but the way I saw it, I was the most wicked sinner that ever lived. I mean, I was low and sorry and no good, and the Lord made that. How did that happen? I mean, here I was. I'd lived my first 12 years. I didn't care. I'd already started slipping down. You know, the middle school years and the early high school years, you're just starting to get involved in sin, and I done started slipping down that road to some degree. I didn't care. I didn't care. I was this and that. When the Holy Spirit convicted me, that is His job to reprove us, isn't it? To reprove us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He convicted me, and I realized this one thing. I needed to be saved. I was going to hell. I had a need. And when I realized my need, I wanted what He had to offer. I didn't want it before then. I didn't have any interest in church or singing or preaching or anything else. But when He dealt with my heart and showed me who I was and what I was and the need I had, I wanted life from Him. I wanted it. This woman says that. Verse 15, the woman saith unto her, Sir, give me this water. I want it. He said, I'm going to, but first, let's deal with your sin. Go get your husband. You know what he was bringing her to? Her sin. Her sin. Sinner, you're going to have to deal with your sin. You're going to have to deal with your sin. Here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin. He's the only one who can. Nobody else can forgive you. Just the Lord. He's going to have to do that. If He doesn't do it, you'll never be forgiven of your sin. You better get that in your head. He's the only one can clean you up. He's the only one can forgive you. He's the only one can make you right and holy, just, acceptable with the Lord. Oh, He dealt with her about her sins. He said, hey, you're living with a man right now. You're right. You don't have a husband. You're shacking up. Am I somewhere, and I don't know exactly where, I've wrestled around with at what point she got saved, but there ain't a doubt in my mind she acknowledged he was right. You know what she said to those men? Come see a man that told me all that ever I did. She didn't say, now wait a minute, I'm a pretty good person. She didn't start arguing with the Lord. I mean, she knew He had the goods on her. You remember when the Lord got the goods on you? I mean, He just made it real. He convicted you. He put down the spiritual gavel and said to you, you're guilty. You're guilty, condemned. You're a sinner. The penalty's hell. You remember that? I'm telling you, when the Lord dealt with me, my heart was about to beat out of my chest. I was scared. Because I knew this, if I died, hell was my eternal home. And I want to tell you, sinner, if you go to hell, you can't ever get out. You're there forever and ever and ever. And ever, and when a bird has taken one grain of sand and flew over to China and put that sand down and flew back and went up here to the Smoky Mountains and got another grain and come back, when he's leveled the Smoky Mountains, can I tell you, when he's moved the Smoky Mountains from right up here over to China, eternity has only just begun. We can't even lay hope to that, can we? We're time-oriented people. We can't lay hope. It'll never end. 10 billion years, still be screaming in hell. And you're one heartbeat away. You're one step away. If God removes His mercy just for a second, you're in hell. I just want to ask you tonight. I don't know how to say it any other way. I'm just... Somebody needs to be saved. You that know me and know my preaching, you know I don't just preach salvation on Sunday mornings at church. I don't work like that. But I'm telling you, God has somebody He's wanting to save. And you better be honest with Him. And when He deals with your heart, I don't know if He is this morning. I couldn't say He is. I couldn't say He's not. But you know, if He's dealing with your heart, you need to be saved. Hey, this lady didn't know anything. You say, how'd she get saved? She didn't know anything. She just threw herself at the mercy of God. That's what she did. You know what? The night I got saved, didn't hardly know nothing. Just I was a sinner, and hell was a real place, and I didn't want to go. And I said this, God saved me. God saved me. That's all I said. I've heard folks say, well, that's not enough. You have to do this and this and this. It's almost like a formula or like a... it almost gets so complicated. But here's what God knows. He knows your heart. He knows if you're real. He knows if you're sincere. And He knew I wanted to be saved more than life itself. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to escape hell. I didn't want to go, and I didn't know what to say. And I just said, God save me, God save me. And He did, and I am today, 43 or 4 years later, however long it's been, I'm still saved. And if I were to live another million years, I'd still be saved. And I'll be saved throughout all eternity. Why? Because there's a Savior that sought me out one day, met me at the well, and saved my unworthy soul. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a Savior. Whoa, what a Savior we have. Well, glory to God, glory to God. He'll save you, sinner. As sorry as you are, as no good, as worthless as you are, He'll save your unworthy soul if you allow Him to. Oh, my. Do you need to be saved this morning? That's my message. He's a seeking Savior. I don't know if He's seeking you this morning, but He will sometime. And if He's seeking you, you better thank God for it. And it'll make you troubled when He does. When He seeks you out, it'll trouble you because He's holy and you're sinful. And when you get in the presence of holiness, even a saint, when you get in the presence of holiness, you're troubled. You're troubled. He'll make you feel guilty. He'll convict you. However that is, you may feel dirty and nasty or whatever else. Mike could say, but if He's dealing with you hard, do business with Him. You say, preacher, I don't know what to do. Just ask Him to save you. From your heart, the very best way you know how. I've listened to all the different conversions. They're all different. Not everybody said, God save me, God save me. Some said different things. But you know what God's listening to? The heart. Some didn't say anything. They just knelt down crying and called out on the inside. God sees the heart. Would you like to be saved, sinner? I'm not trying to twist your arm. I'm not trying to make you miserable. I'm not trying to force anything. I just really believe this in my soul. For maybe a month now, God's been dealing with somebody that needs to be saved. And I'm going to ask you, would you come be saved today? Say, preacher, you want me to come talk? No, I just want you to talk to the Lord. Just to ask Him to save you. You don't have to tell me what you've done. It doesn't even matter. I don't even matter. I don't matter nothing when it comes to your salvation. It's just you and Jesus. You and the Father. Today, would you come? Brother Hallett, y'all come to the piano. And sinner, I just plead with you. If that be the word, maybe I shouldn't, but God's dealing with your heart. Would you come? Would you be honest with the Lord? Would you just come and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. Please save me. All heads bowed. Brother Hallett's going to sing this.